Brother Andy, and thank you, Noemia, for that good song. Aren't you glad for the grace of God? Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 11. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 1. There's some notes on the back of your bulletin if you want to fill those out as we go along. This morning I want to speak to you on the subject of the man who doubted the purpose of God. The man who doubted the purpose of God. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. It is always an honor and a privilege to open the Word of God, to read it and to preach it. We realize this morning that it's not important so much what I have to say as it is what you have to say. And I pray that everything that we say will always be founded upon and based upon the Word of God. Your Word, your Bible that you've given to us is our final authority in every area of our faith and practice. And so we thank you that you've given us the Word of God and that you've preserved it for us. Help us to listen and to allow your Holy Spirit to convict, to guide, to lead, to direct in our lives today. For those that may be here that do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, would you open their hearts and their minds to you, and may they trust you today. Lord, I realize this morning as we gather, we have people from various parts of not only our country, but various parts of the world. And I pray that you'll give understanding as we hear your word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The man who doubted the purpose of God. Stephen Pyle chronicled in his book, The Incomplete Book of Failures, some of the biggest failures in modern history. He wrote about Thomas Edison's teacher who said of Thomas Edison, he was too stupid to learn. I would consider that a failure, wouldn't you? He spoke of Albert Einstein's teacher who said he, Albert, was mentally slow, unsociable, and adrift forever in his foolish dreams. You know, they tell us that there's just a fine line between the genius and the insane. You know, there's just a small line. And I'm afraid some of us have crossed the line sometimes. Amen. I meant to the genius side, right? One word when we think about failures. How many of you ever heard the word Edsel? Edsel. They talk about doors that did not close and the hoods that didn't open and the horn that didn't honk. To this very day, there is no record of anyone ever stealing an Edsel. Stephen Pyle wrote in his book about Decca Records that rejected the Beatles. About the newspaper editor who fired Walt Disney because they said he lacked ideas. A lot of failures in the world, aren't there? And we have, over the last number of weeks, been studying some of the famous failures in the Bible. We've discovered that when we fail, we are in good company. We join men like Adam and Moses and Jonah and Peter and John Mark and King David. How did Adam fail? He defied the command of God. And God, if you remember, used a symbol to get Adam's attention. He used the animal that was slain and the skin of the animal that was used to cover him, which was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ being the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. How did Moses fail? Moses disregarded the plan of God. And what did God use to get Moses' attention? He just used a sight, a burning bush in the backside of the wilderness. How did Jonah fail? Jonah disobeyed the word of God. God said go, and Jonah said no. And God used a storm to get Jonah's attention. How did Peter fail? Peter, we know, denied the Lord three times. And God just used a sound, a simple sound to reclaim Peter. It was the crowing of a rooster. And when he heard that, he remembered the words of the Lord, didn't he? Before this night, the rooster will crow, you'll deny me three times. How did John Mark fail? John Mark deserted the work of God. And God used a simple servant to reclaim him, a man by the name of Barnabas. And then there was David, we talked about last week. King David, he failed. He defiled the purity of God. And God used a sermon to reclaim him. Nathan came and preached to him and put his finger in his face and said, David, thou art the man. And here in this 11th chapter of Matthew, verse number 3 is one of the most sobering and stirring statements that is ever made by a struggling servant of God. And in verse number 3 it says of John the Baptist, and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? John the Baptist was in prison. He was struggling. Do we have any struggling saints here this morning? I think we probably have quite a few, don't we? As we struggle along the way. As we think about this statement of John the Baptist, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? We need to know who said this, to whom he asked the question, and then what took place after that question was asked. It was said by none other than John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was one of the greats. And verse number 2 says, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of the disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? It was said by John the Baptist. It was asked of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. John said, go ask Jesus, are you the Christ? It was spoken by John from Herod's dungeon, in the royal castle of Herod, which faced the Dead Sea. There in that dungeon was John the Baptist because of his preaching. And John asked this question. Now, there's several things that I want to notice this morning just very quickly as we think about this statement. Art thou the Christ, or look we for another? First of all, notice the dungeon. John speaks this or asks this question from the dungeon. Verse number 2, it says John had heard in the prison. When John was in prison, he was not in a prison like we think of today. He was not in a place where they had hot showers and where they had gathering rooms with giant screen TVs and where they had libraries and weightlifting rooms and all of those kinds of things. John's in a dungeon. It was a place that probably didn't have any facilities in it for eliminating waste and so forth. It was It was either chains or stocks that he is in prison. And John is there. You think for a moment, just a few months before this, John the Baptist had been enjoying the freedom and the acclaim and the notoriety of being one of Israel's most recent prophets. It was John the Baptist who broke the 400-year silence between the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles. Crowds had gathered. Literally hundreds and thousands had gone out to the Jordan River to hear John preach. His ministry was a giant exclamation of work for the Lord. He was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. George Goodwin cites three responsibilities of the forerunner of Christ. He said John was to do three things. Number one, he was to clear the way. Number two, he was to prepare the way. And number three, he was to get out of the way. You know, there's a lot of people today that help clear the way and prepare the way, but don't know how to get out of the way. Amen. Ministry is not all about the minister. It's about the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's true for all of us. Not about us. It's about Him. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice as we think about this dungeon, first of all, John the Baptist's assignment was to be the announcer of the Savior. He was to announce. The Bible says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." John was the one to point people to Jesus Christ, to announce the coming of the Lord Jesus. Yesterday we had an announcement of the nominee for vice president. And I didn't see all of the thing on the news, but I saw parts of it. But I think it was the governor of Virginia who announced and introduced Governor Romney, and then he introduced. There are different ones. This one introduced this one. This one introduced it. John the Baptist was the one who announced the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming on the scene. He's the Savior of the world. And John says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." You know what John said about himself? John said, "He, Jesus, must increase, but I, John, must decrease." That's what our life's all about. It's about increasing Jesus, pointing people to Jesus. It's about us slipping out into obscurity and letting people revel in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. John was assigned to be the announcer of the Savior. And added to John the Baptist's resume was the fact that John the Baptist was the one chosen to baptize the Lord Jesus Christ. Over the years that I've had the privilege of being a pastor, I've baptized a lot of people. I was talking to somebody the other day in the first church that I pastored in Chatsworth, Georgia. We didn't have a baptistry, and we baptized in the river. I've baptized a number of people in the river there in North Georgia. And I remember one spring we were having a baptismal service on Sunday, and we had one of those spring thunderstorms Saturday night, the night before, and we went down to the river to baptize. And I remember this young girl that I baptized, and when I took her down under the water, the current was so swift it just pulled her out like this, and I'm having to pull her back upstream to get her back up on her feet after I baptized her. But can you imagine the honor of baptizing the Lord Jesus Christ? John had that privilege. And then secondly, we could say that John also was faithful to our Lord. He was the announcer of the Savior, but he was also faithful. John chapter 5 and verse 35 says he was a burning and shining light. John was faithful. I don't know how many years God will give me or how many years He gives you, but we ought to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful to Him. Faithful. We're faithful to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. We're faithful to hear God's Word. You know, I was talking a little while ago about the fact that the Lord has promised that where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. You think about the honor of baptizing the Lord Jesus Christ, but we have an honor every Sunday. The Lord Jesus Christ is here in our midst in this service today. We'll have church tonight and Jesus will be here. We'll have church Wednesday night. Jesus will be here. What a privilege and an honor to come into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. John was not a man of opinions that only cost him his personal breath, but he was a man of convictions And that usually costs a person some blood. And it cost John. He ended up going to prison and cost him his head. And so it is naturally that John, who followed the Lord, he was a denouncer of sin. Sometimes he had to stand against sin. You know, people like it if you talk positive all the time. But they don't like you to preach against sin. I want you to look, keep your finger there in Matthew, and go over. You have Matthew, then Mark, and Luke. Look at Luke chapter 3 and verse 17. Matthew, Mark, and then Luke chapter 3. Look at verse 17 of Luke chapter 3. And there are a lot of preachers today that will preach positive messages, and I think we ought to preach positive messages. But sometimes we have to preach the negative, don't we? Sometimes we have to preach against sin. The Lord gave us 10 commandments, and He didn't say in all the commandments, thou shalt do this, and thou shalt do this, and thou shalt. Some of them are, thou shalt not. Amen? There's some positive and some negative. In Luke chapter 3, look at verse 17. Speaking of John, back in verse 16, it says, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. John said, I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. But he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. So John preached, and in John's preaching, he said to Herod, he said, Herod, you are living with your brother's wife. And that's not right. It's sin. It's not acceptable to God. And Herod didn't like John preaching against his sin, and Herod had John put in prison for it. Now, I almost went to prison one time, but I've not been put into prison for preaching. We went through a lawsuit some years ago where the city of Lakeside Park and Kenton County sued me because I wouldn't take an occupational license. And we fought it for about 4 years or so and won it. They declared our city and county's ordinances unconstitutional. But when we first went to court, Brother Gibbs said to me, he said, Brother Schelling, are you willing to go to jail? I had to think about that a little bit. I don't want to, but I guess I am. But it could have come to that, and we lost our case. John the Baptist went to prison because he preached against the sin of Herod. And the day may come. We have laws that are constantly being tried to be pushed over. They've been passed in other countries where it's illegal to stand and preach against sodomy and homosexuality. And they're trying to make that the case in the United States. They'll try to make it a hate crime for a preacher to stand and preach against sin. And preachers may someday in America go to jail for preaching the gospel. I don't know that John the Baptist is such bad company. I don't want to go to jail, but I'd be in pretty good company if I had to go. Paul spent a lot of time in jail, didn't he? In prison. And I hope it never comes to that, but it may. There are preachers around the world that are in prison today for preaching the faith and preaching the gospel and the Word of God. So, John was faithful. Even though it cost him to go to jail, he was faithful to the Lord. And when he saw something that was not right, he said something about it. He stood up for truth and for right. And it, of course, landed him in prison in the dungeon. Don't expect a reception in your honor when you decide to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and stand up for Him. Sometimes the exact opposite will occur, won't it? In this world, a consecrated child of God will get more bricks than bouquets. He'll get more mud than he will medals. And for John, instead of a plaque and a promotion for his honesty and truthfulness, he got a dungeon, a prison cell, because he preached the truth. And the jail time was hard time for John. It was a difficult time. He was an outdoorsman. He was used to being out, and now he's confined into a dungeon and a prison. He was a vocal man. He now has become a silenced man, as he put it. He was put in prison. He had announced judgment, and the judgment was slow in coming. He was receiving only partial reports about the ministry of the Lord Jesus while he's in the dungeon. He couldn't see the total picture there. Now I want you to notice not only the dungeon, but secondly, notice the doubt in verse number 3 back in Matthew 11. John said unto him, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Vance Havner said, "Here in this dungeon of doubt, John fell into depression and despair. This man who could reprove kings and call religious people snakes could get down in the dumps even as you and I can. It's one thing to stand on the Jordan and to give out the word of God, but it's another thing to sit in jail and take whatever punishment is dished out to you." John, I think, was at an all-time low when he was in the prison. It might have been a first-time low. I don't know, but it was an all-time low. The bright and shining light had gone into eclipse, and John's ministry that had been an exclamation point about Jesus Christ in the public now is sagging in private quarters in his cell, and his ministry becomes a question mark. And he says, "Art thou the Christ, or look we for another?" Maybe you're in a dungeon of doubt this morning. I can say to you that when the times get tough and difficult, sometimes we begin to doubt what God has told us to do or led us to do. Was John the Baptist a great preacher? All of us would say amen, he was. Did John the Baptist go through some depression and doubt? Absolutely. In the darkest times of your life, in the difficulties, times when you think the Lord would have answered differently or done things another way, times when you thought God would answer your prayer and fix everything and straighten it all out, and He didn't come through as you thought He would, you sometimes have questions and say, "God, are You really there? Do You really hear me? Do You really care?" John's in prison. He said, "Are You really the Christ? Or are we looking for somebody else?" It may be bad health. It could be financial troubles. It could be the blood pressure's up and the bank account's down. It could be you prayed, but you didn't get an answer. You tithed, but you still had financial needs. You raised your children in church and for the Lord, and they have gone to the dogs, so to speak. And you say, "Lord, I don't understand. Are You really the God of the Bible? Did You really say that? Lord, I don't understand." And John the Baptist was in prison because he did what was right. He's in a dungeon because of being a criminal or a Christian, not because of being a criminal. And to make things even worse, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't even go by the prison to visit John there. He didn't send him a 6-part video course on how to be happy in prison. He's there and he's all alone. His circumstances were trying to rewrite his theology. What's a person to do when God doesn't come through? What are we supposed to do when the Lord doesn't answer our prayer? Joseph, if you remember, was sold by his brothers into slavery. And a little while later, he landed into prison because of a lying woman who lied about his purity. Mary and Martha both said when Lazarus died, you remember when Jesus finally came and Lazarus was dead, they said, "Lord, if Thou hadst been here, Lord, if only You had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died." Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And God wasn't in thorn-pulling mood, was He? He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." The three Hebrew children said to the king, "Our God is able to deliver us." But then they said, "But if not." And they were ready for a "but if not." Those "but if nots" are hard in our life, aren't they? And we don't always understand them. And sometimes they produce questions in our life. Suppose God doesn't come through like we think He should. Suppose He doesn't come through on our schedule. The real test of our faith is not when God works a miracle. The real test of our faith is when God does nothing at all. And we wonder why He didn't answer our prayer or meet our need. An old Quaker prayed one morning and he said, "God, I'm not surprised that You have as few friends as You do because of the way You treat the ones You have." He didn't understand, did he? John the Baptist said, "Art thou he?" Satan questioned the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in Luke chapter 4 and verse 3 on the Mount of Temptation, "If thou be the Son of God," he questioned him. It should not surprise us when sometimes we have doubts and questions in our life. I hear people sometimes say, "Well, I've been saved so many years and I've never doubted my salvation." It may be true. I'm not doubting what they're saying, but most people have some doubts along the way and some struggles. John did. Doubt implies a state of belief. Though it is weak, there's still belief there. Doubt is to the spirit what pain is to the body. Doubt is faith in a sick condition. Doubt is faith in reverse. Doubt is faith going in the wrong direction. And most of the time when we're in a state of doubt, we're about as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. Amen? But doubt will come. And when it does, a lot of times we have no sense of direction. Sometimes it seems like everything's dark. It seems like God doesn't hear our prayer. When there's doubt in your life, there's two things that you can do. Do what John the Baptist did. What did he do? He took his doubt directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Go ask Jesus." When you have doubts, go ask Jesus. Amen? Ask Him. And then do what Jesus told John the Baptist to do. You know what Jesus told John to do? In a sense, Jesus said to John, "Remember your Bible." Remember your Bible. Jesus said, "Go tell John the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." John, remember your Bible. Jesus didn't argue with John. The Lord Jesus didn't attack John the Baptist. He simply said in as many words, "John, get your mind back on the Word of God." Could I tell you that when we have doubts and struggles and trials in our life, one of the best things you can do is just bathe yourself and immerse yourself in the Word of God. Let God's Word speak to you. Let God's Holy Spirit speak to you through His Word. Isaiah said that Messiah would do these things. Back in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse number 1, notice what the Bible says. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. It says this: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." You see, Isaiah said that the Messiah would do these things many years before he came. And by the way, Jesus' first sermon that he preached was on Isaiah 61 and verse 1. How did John the Baptist fail? He doubted the purpose of God. And what did God use to set him straight or to get him right? God used a scripture to get him right. Some years ago, after Vance Havner's wife died, she died at 2:15 on Sunday morning. And Vance Havner preached the 11 o'clock service in his church that morning. He took Matthew 11, verse 3 as his text. And he said unto him, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" And Vance Havner said that Jesus sent word back that he was running right on schedule. It's a pretty good message to get from the Lord, isn't it? Look at verse 4 and 5 and 6. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Vance Havner said he thought Jesus was telling John, "Blessed is he whomsoever shall not get upset by the way I run my business." That's a pretty good thought to keep in mind. We may not understand and we may not get the answer we thought, but don't get upset by the way God runs His business. He knows what He's doing and He knows what's best. Amen. He knows what's best. God, someone said, is both the bookkeeper and the timekeeper. I think it was Warren Wiersbe who said, God always keeps His eye on the clock and His hand on the thermostat. Jesus was the Messiah John predicted. He may not have been the one John expected, but He was one that John predicted. In Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 14, it says that Jesus will either be a sanctuary or a stumbling stone in our hour of trouble. And He shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In your time of trouble, in my time of trouble, we run to Jesus and He's either a sanctuary or He's a stumbling stone. I'm glad He's been a sanctuary many times when I've run to Him in the time of trouble. There's a third thing that I want you to notice with me this morning, and that is the delight. Look at the delight that comes from all of this. In John chapter 11, again, look down at verse number 11. Verily, verily, I say, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The day John said the worst thing he'd ever said about Jesus, art thou the Christ or do we look for another? Worst thing he ever said about Jesus. On that same day, Jesus said the best thing he'd ever said about John. He spoke of John and he said, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. And then he said something pretty good about us. He said, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. You know what? You're pretty important to God. You may say, I'm the least. God says you're greater than John the Baptist. You're pretty important to Him. When God does not come through in your life, number one, remember that He is still God. He's still God. He knows what He's doing. And though He may not do it the way we think or when we think or how we think, He is still God. And we can still trust Him. And then secondly, when God does not come through, remember that He still loves you. He still loves you. Your faith may slip and slide sometimes. You may doubt and question, but God has an everlasting love for you and for me. Jesus Christ was not going to set John aside for this failure in John's life. John said, art thou the Christ or look we for another? You didn't deliver me. I ended up in prison. And by the way, what's going to happen to John? He's going to end up having his head cut off. He doesn't know that yet. That hasn't happened yet. And John said, are you the Christ or do we look for another? Was that a failure in the life of John? Yeah. Did the Lord throw him aside and say, John, I can never use you. You're a doubter. You're worse than Thomas. No. The Lord said, there's not a greater than John the Baptist. And God didn't throw him aside. And God doesn't throw us aside when we fail. He loves us. He still loves us. And John turned to the Lord Jesus in the hour of his need. And Jesus did not turn him away. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. No matter how dark the hour, no matter how difficult the problem you're going through, the Lord has promised you and He's promised me, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's with us, even in the darkest hour. And then I want you to notice the last thing, and that's the death. The death. Turn over a few pages to chapter 14 of Matthew. And look at verse number 1. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus. hears about Jesus and all of the miracles and things that he's doing. And look what he said. And he said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him." You know why Herod said what he did about Jesus? A couple of reasons. When he saw the miracles, is this John the Baptist risen from the dead? One reason he said that is because he was filled with conviction and guilt. But I think there's another reason why he said that. Because John had lived so much like Jesus that when Herod saw Jesus, he thought it was John. I wonder how much we live like Jesus. How much of Jesus do other people see in our life? Would they ever mistake us for Jesus? I heard about a preacher one time. He was outside of his church and going down the back alley, and one of the little boys that came on the bus, the preacher passed and said hi, and his shoe was untied. And the preacher stooped down and tied the little boy's shoe. And the little boy looked up at his preacher and he said, "Are you God? Are you God?" I wonder if anybody's ever mistook us for God or for Jesus. Do they see enough of him in us? Herod said, "This is none other than John the Baptist." Verse number 3, "For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, 'It is not lawful for thee to have her.' And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. And when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before him, them, and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, 'Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger.' And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them that sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in prison, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. And when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by a ship in a desert place apart. When the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities." Jesus heard about John's death, and the Bible says he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. Even Jesus needed some time after he heard about his beloved friend John's death to kind of get alone a little bit. Spend some time alone. But John the Baptist was never delivered. He was in prison. And he said, "Art thou the Christ, or look we for another?" And Jesus said, "John, look back at the Bible. See that I'm doing the things that Isaiah preached about in chapter 61. And John saw that, and John was encouraged. But you know what? The Lord didn't deliver him. And a short while later, John the Baptist lost his head. Now, he was dead, so he didn't have a chance to ask the question again, "Are you really the Christ now that I've got my head cut off?" Or, you know. But sometimes we get into some pretty dark situations and we have doubts like John did. John ended up dying there in the prison. I like what A.T. Robertson said about this. He said it was a blunt and brave thing that John said. It cost him his head, but it's better to have a head like John's and lose it than to have an ordinary head and keep it. John was willing to take a stand for what's right. Death came. But you know what? When death came, John the Baptist was taken from prison to paradise. The two disciples made their way back to John, who brought the news, or back to Jesus. And they had come back to John first, and they had said, "John, you were right. You were right all along. The search is over. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. We don't have to look for another. He's the one that we've been looking for." Do you have any doubts today? Bring them to Jesus. Do you have some trials and some darkness that you're going through? Bring it to Jesus. Look to the Bible. Look to the Word of God. Jesus is God and He will hear and He will deliver. But if not, if He chooses not, we can still trust Him. Amen. He knows what's best. Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I don't know all that happened in John's life from the time that he asked the question, "Art thou the Christ, or look we for another?" until he was taken, his head was cut off, and he gave his life for the cause of Christ. I don't know what happened in all that time, but I sort of have an idea that John got pretty close to the Lord Jesus. And when God allowed John's head to be cut off, he entered into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, into the presence of his God, whom he had been faithful to serve and to preach and to talk about and stand for. And I do not know what trial or difficulties you and I will go through before our life is over. There have been many times when God has delivered us. But the honest truth is, one of these days, unless Jesus comes back first, something's going to happen that takes us out of this world. There's going to come a time when God doesn't deliver us. But He will deliver us when He doesn't deliver us. Amen. Because we'll get to go into His presence and be with Him. Remember when Stephen was stoned? Stephen preached and the Bible says they gnashed their teeth and they picked the stones up and they threw them at Stephen. And as Stephen was dying, what did he say? He said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And then Stephen said this. He said, "I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand." Did God deliver Stephen from the men who stoned him? No. But the Bible teaches us that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And when Stephen died, the Lord Jesus stood to receive Stephen into His presence. What kind of reception will you get when you leave this world to go to heaven? First of all, you better make sure you're saved and know you're going to heaven. Amen. And then secondly, when you know you're saved, when you enter into the presence of the Lord, would you like to go in there right after John said, "Art thou the Christ?" Would you like to have to face the Lord after something like that? Or would you like to have a little bit of time and John's head's cut off and he's given his life for the cause of Christ? And like Stephen, probably the Lord stood to receive him into the presence of the Lord. Be honored. You know, none of us deserve any honor when it comes to God. The Bible teaches us that we'll have crowns and rewards, but you know what we'll do with them? Revelation tells us we'll cast them at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll say something like this. We'll say, "Lord, Thou alone are worthy of honor and glory and praise." And we'll give all the honor and the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom it belongs. May God help us to be faithful. Amen. You'll have some doubts. You'll have some dark times. Take it to Jesus. Look in the Bible. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the answers to the failures of some of the great men and women of the Bible. They failed, but they were forgiven. Lord, we've all faced some failures in our life. Oh, how I thank You that You forgive and restore and You love us and care for us. Help us to take it to Jesus. Help us to look back in the Word of God. Find our answer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you take your hymn books and turn with me to number 160? Number 160, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And would you stand together with me as we sing our song of invitation? As we sing this morning, perhaps you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. You say, "Preacher, I need to trust Him. I need to make sure I'm going to heaven." We invite you to come. Someone will take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Just slip out of your place in a moment when we sing and come to the front. Some of you have already been saved. You need to come and make your public profession of faith in Christ. Others need to come and present yourself for baptism. Some of you ought to come and say, "Preacher, I've been saved and scripturally baptized. I'm in a right relationship with the Lord, and I want to be a part of this church." We invite you to come and join us and serve the Lord together with us here. There may be some of you going through some dark trials and some doubts. Maybe you need to bring it to Jesus this morning. And just come and kneel here at the altar, or take a seat at one of these front rows. If you can't kneel, you're welcome to do that. Just bring it to the Lord and say, "Lord, are you there? I believe you. I trust you. I give it to you. I need your help." Maybe there's some things you need to make right with the Lord. I don't know what God's speaking to you about, but if He's dealing with you, you listen. Do what He's telling you to do, and you come while we sing on the first verse, number 160. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Sing that second verse while we sing. God's speaking to your heart. Listen to Him. Do what He wants you to do while we sing that second verse. Sing it with me. Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. Over us, yearn for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Sing that chorus one more time with me. As we sing, let it be your prayer, all right? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And if God's still speaking, you come while we sing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Thank you, and you may be seated. Thank the Lord for these who have come today. We're glad to have, is it Vernita? Yes. Vernita Tolliver. And Vernita trusted the Lord yesterday as her personal Savior, and she comes to make her public profession. Vernita, that's the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. And we're delighted with you. If you rejoice in her decision to trust Christ, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Also, we're glad for Sheila Ellis coming. Sheila has come this morning to unite with our church and to serve the Lord together here with us at Northern Kentucky Baptist Church. And we're delighted for her decision. If you're delighted in that, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Sheila. We're delighted to have you as a part of our church. Thank you so much for being here today. We're going to ask our ushers to come and help us for just a moment, gentlemen, if you would. As I mentioned earlier, if you're visiting with us, if you'll take that communication card and drop it in the offering plate, or if you're a first-time adult visitor, take it back to the Welcome Center in the lobby and you can pick up a new Bible there and receive that. But we invite all of you to join us as the Lord would lead you in bringing our tithes and our offerings to the Lord and giving to the Lord. We give to the Lord through our church. The church uses the funds to carry on the ministry here as well as around the world as we send out missionaries and help to get the gospel out. And we appreciate so much your faithfulness in giving. I asked you last week to pray especially about a special need that we had. We had two of our air conditioning units over on the older part of the building that went out. And we've had enough funds to come in to take care of one of those. And it's on order and will be replaced as soon as they get the equipment in. And so I want to thank those of you who have given very generously and graciously and continue to do that. We still have the other one to take care of. So we still have, I think, about $4,300 or $4,400 to take care of the other one. And when the money comes in, we'll get that one done. But thank you so much, those of you who were giving. I had something interesting happen. The Lord kind of impressed on my heart to give something towards the air conditioning, which I did last week. And it was either last week or week before, I forget which one. But I had a bill that I was paying on for when I was in the hospital July of last year when I had a heart attack, and I still owed, I think it was $1,700 on that one particular bill. And I got a call yesterday, and they said, we would like to offer you a negotiation. If you'll pay half of it, we'll write off half of it. And so I robbed Peter to pay Paul and scraped together half of it. But it ended up saving me $850. And I said, you know what? That's a pretty good return on an investment, isn't it? And I'm glad that you can't outgive God. And when you sacrifice and give, God will bless you. And He's done that for me over and over and over again. And I thank the Lord for it. And invite you as the Lord. I'm not telling you if you give something, He's going to give you $850. But you do what God tells you to do. And thank you, those of you who have already been a part of and given. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Brother Larry Robinson, would you come and lead us and ask the Lord's blessing on this offering this morning?
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we can be in your house, and thank you for the word that we've heard this morning. We pray that we'll leave here, we'll apply it to our hearts and our lives, and God, that the word won't go void, but we'll have an understanding of what you would want for us to do and how we can bring honor and glory to you each and every day of our life. We thank you for Sheila this morning and ask that you continue to bless her and use her. And Father, we pray for those that's made decisions that maybe we don't know about, but that you understand and you know. So we ask that you would just continue to lead, guide, and direct in our lives. And may we just always give you the praise, the honor, and the glory that you so richly deserve. Bless this offering. May it be used to further the gospel, not just this community, but throughout the entire world. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Noemi, for that good offertory. Brother Craig Miller, would you come and we'll stand together for our closing prayer. Don't forget the service tonight, choir at 5:30, the evening service tonight at 6 o'clock. Hope you'll be back and be a part of that. Lord willing, I'm going to preach a message on brokenness tonight, and I hope you'll come and be a part of that and hear that tonight. And pray for Andy Inskeep. I think it's Tuesday that he goes to the oncologist, and no, Thursday? to the surgeon Tuesday. He goes to the surgeon, and he'll find out about the surgery and so forth. So pray for him, and keep praying for Brother Bill Miller back here. We're glad he's here today. He's had some good answers to prayer this week, hasn't he? And we're glad he's here. I'm glad he gets positioned back there, because anybody tries to sneak out when I'm preaching, he's got instructions. Just trip them and don't let them get out, right? Amen. God bless you, Bill. We appreciate you, and we're praying for you. Let's pray together. Craig, lead us, please, sir.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the message we just heard. I thank you for our pastor who week after week brings us your word, Lord. Just pray that we would have the strength that you give us to be able to get over doubt that we have in our lives. I just pray that we would lean on you. I thank you that even when we do doubt, you're always there, and that we can always lean on you and trust in you. Just pray that you would be with Brother Andy Inskeep this week as he sees the surgeon. Lord, just pray that the surgeon would know exactly what to do and just take care of his needs and give him comfort and encouragement. Thank you for Brother Bill being here. Just pray that you would continue to be with him and give him a strong recovery. Just bring us back safely tonight, and give us a good week. In Jesus' name, amen.